Hello, this is jolly old Saint Mick. I'm Nick, and you are listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast with your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 29 here at another wrestling podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Benjamin. With me, as always,
is ho-ho-ho Steve Credo.
We love you guys so much that we decided to come in on Christmas to do this special show for you.
Wow. Working overtime. I'm not getting paid for it.
Yes. What did you get me for Christmas?
I got you another podcast.
Another
wrestling podcast, that is.
I did, because I'm not a big jerk. I did get you something.
Oh, what'd you get?
I got all of you something.
It's all little, of us?
Yeah, it's just a little treat.
A little treat.
Yeah, you know, 'tis the season. You know, all of you can just listen to this little
Christmas song. Music. Yay!
It's a little ditty from one of our favorites here at Another Wrestling Podcast.
What are you doing to the fans out there, Jonathan?
I don't know what you're talking about. She has the voice of an angel. Feel free to sing along if you're listening at home.
Is this the Jillian Hall Christmas album?
It is. This is a jingle with Jillian. You can get it on iTunes.
Yikes.
Along with our show, by the way.
Wow. My ears are... This isn't ear candy, Jonathan. Not ear candy.
It is. I love Jillian so much.
I'm sorry, everybody out there. You could probably skip ahead about another 30 seconds if you want to maybe not hear the music anymore.
Oh. It's all right, you know.
Well, we thank you, though. It was a sincere gift, though, anyway.
Yeah, well...
You could have got us socks or underwear, but you got us music.
Yes, I did, and, you know, you're all welcome. And it's because you've all been so good this year, listening to our show, tweeting us, talking to us. So, Merry Christmas to all of you out there.
Feliz Navidad.
For the Los Matadores that are listening to us today.
Listening in SAP.
Yes. So, to continue with what we were talking about, we have a great show, as usual.
As always.
Best show ever. If you don't know who our next guest is, then you've been living under a rock, not Dwayne Johnson, just any other rock. We are going to be talking to St. Mickles himself, none other than the hardcore Christmas legend, Mick Foley.
Wow. It's funny to think that, you know, he went from hardcore to Christmas legend all in one decade, I guess. Crazy. Wow. What a show, guys. Stay tuned, because it's Christmas and you're probably not doing anything else.
So, Credo.
Yes.
Yes.
My God. I was thinking today, it's Christmas.
You don't tell me you're going to give us more presents, are you?
Well, I was thinking about some of the presents. I equate presents and surprises as the same thing, so I'll just get that out right now. Because some of these things that I want to talk about today may not be construed as presents, but I think that a surprise and a present are the same thing.
Uh-huh.
So, let's talk, it's the holiday season, let's talk about some of the biggest surprises that have ever happened in the world of professional wrestling.
This is definitely better than surprise music that you've been throwing out there on everybody, but yeah, let's do. Presents and surprises, this is pretty good. What did you have in mind?
Well, I mean, the idea of the surprise goes back a really long time. Obviously, we can talk about the origins of professional wrestling and all that, but I think that we're going to get a little more current. This year at Survivor Series, we got a surprise that maybe some of you knew about, but it is a surprise in the sense that no one ever thought it was going to happen, and that is none other than Sting, insert groan from me, debuting in the WWE.
20 years too late, 10 years too late, whatever you want to say. But yeah, he stepped foot in the ring. Could be sponsored by Just for Men, but come on, Stinger. I mean, you're aging, but you stepped in the ring, I guess. I guess that's the one thing that we can say that, hey, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
There's your surprise.
I think that we're also going to get, from what I hear, 5 more presents from him.
5 more presents. Wow. What a big paycheck and 5 more appearances. Yeah. Hey, I guess you got to make your money. And if you only do it 5 times, why not?
Yeah. I mean, I guess here's my thing. I've never been a Stinger fan. Everybody that's listening probably already knows that. If not, I'm sorry. I've always fancied myself a WWE guy. So I think it's cool that he's there because it just makes for more memorable moments, surprises, if you will. But I just never got really into Sting. But I definitely think that that was a present for all of the diehard fans this year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's one of those things like, he's never going to show up. He's never going to come over here. And, you know, regardless of what we may not like about it, I mean, there's a lot of Stinger fans out there. And I'm not saying I hate Sting. I don't probably really care for him that much. And like I said, maybe 20 years too late. But, hey, he still made it to Christmas dinner. You know what I mean? So, hey, kudos to him for finally showing up, and the handful of times we'll see him left in the WWE. But, Jonathan, there's more presents out there and surprises that we could be given to these fans out there besides Sting. I mean, let's just go back. Let's go back to yesteryear. And I don't know what that means. It just sounds cool. To the day where we got a really big surprise. And that way, you know, let's talk really briefly about it. But, I mean, Hall and Nash leaving WWE for WCW. That was probably one of the biggest things that started an even bigger thing in professional wrestling, you know? I think seeing them on TV was like waking up Christmas morning and realized you got that bike you always wanted. You're like, wow, you know, they're not supposed to be over here. This is different. This is crazy. This is great.
I got my sister's bike 1 year.
Wow. Sorry for the Christmas.
She got a new bike, and so I got her bike, and it was pink, and I got made fun of a lot. Thanks for bringing it up.
Hey, nothing a little spray paint can't fix 20 years ago. But hey, it's all right. It's said and done. But hey, that was a nice little present, I think, at least in my mind. I mean, seeing them on there, it definitely spiced things up a little bit, a little Christmas spice, if you will.
Yeah, Hall and Nash coming to WCW gave them exactly what they needed at the time. They gave them, it was buzzworthy. It was a moment that everybody talked about. Everybody wanted to know what was going on. It started the invasion angle, if you will, and had the whole professional wrestling world on fire with talk of, are they in WWE? Are they in WCW? What's going on? So I think it was a huge surprise.
Sure.
We got Hall first, then Nash came later.
Yeah.
And, you know, they used their own names, which was something that was unique because before, you know, it was Diesel or Razor Ramon, but since they couldn't use those names, they had to go with their own names, which was also a surprising element because this started the trend of kind of going behind the scenes, breaking the fourth wall, if you will, and you know, learning more about the industry that everybody thought they knew everything about. So I think, other than that, you know, it's really hard these days to keep a surprise.
Oh, yeah, definitely with the internet.
Yeah, you know, by the way, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I invented the internet.
Ah!
You're welcome, once again. We, you know, someone broke it, we fixed it, and I invented it, so.
Merry Christmas.
So like we said, you know, it's hard to keep a surprise with the internet. They have to go to great lengths to keep a surprise.
Yep.
One of the biggest surprises that, I guess, in recent times would be when John Cena came back to the Royal Rumble.
Uh-huh.
Now, I was actually at that Royal Rumble.
Oh, really?
It was at Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
It was my first Royal Rumble ever, and I was there. It was getting down. I had my own score sheet of who has already been out and who the 30th person was going to be.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, it was. I was the only one, I think, in Madison Square Garden with like a pencil and a piece of paper. And I was like, let's see here. We got Rowdy Piper. That's a surprise. We got Jimmy Snuka. That's also a surprise. Okay. Who's number 30 going to be? When John Cena's music hit, like him, hate him, love him, whatever. the place went bananas. It was Madison Square Garden, and it was just insane. And to see John Cena come out way ahead of schedule, he was supposed to be injured. Mm-hmm. He had his surgery, and he started wrestling again, and he ended up winning that Royal Rumble, but nobody knew. I don't care if you talk to somebody and they say, oh, I knew he was coming back. Nobody knew.
Oh, wait, let's backtrack a little bit. Who did you think was going to be number 30 then?
I just thought it was going to be someone like, you know, like, oh, here comes the Honky Tonk Man, or, you know, maybe it's going to be like, I don't know, Savio Vega. I just expected it to be anybody but Cena. And I, you know, the same thing happened not too long ago when Jericho came back a couple of years ago. We were actually at Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's right.
This was back in the era of pay-per-view, guys. I don't know if you remember that now with the network, but we were there. And
They should move the Royal Rumble to like around Christmas time. I mean, get rid of TLC, make it Christmas, because all those surprises, it just makes sense to do it. Royal Rumble's probably had some of the biggest, you know, returns and surprises, and that's what's probably the greatest thing about the Royal Rumble, as it could be a present in itself, just 1 month after Christmas, pretty much. But the Cena return, the Jericho return, all that kind of stuff, it's really, you know, it's a great way to surprise people. You know, you can't just do it in every other ordinary day matches. So using the Rumble as a big present, if you will, a surprise to surprise people. So the Royal Rumble never fails, I guess you could say.
Yeah, absolutely. Now I'm going to ask you a quick question. I like to do this. I like to keep it loose on the show. I like to, you know, try to just come up with stuff and try to get you, is what I like to do. It's called get you journalism. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or not.
Yes,
not
I have.
Like you work. It's not like you work for like a company that does that or not.
There you go.
What would you say, because this is kind of a surprise, sometimes it can be a surprise. What do you think the greatest maybe debut of a superstar? I'm not talking about somebody that gets a bunch of hype videos, mm-hmm. like coming next month is The Rock at Survivor Series. You know, we got Rocky Maivia. That wasn't a surprise. What do you think a debut of somebody who came in and, you know, just kind of lit the world on fire?
If I had to think of just the first person in my top of my head from what you just said from that, I would have to go back to Mick Foley coming in as Mankind. I know it's really random and just whatever, but from what you just said right there, the first person that popped in my head was Mankind, because I knew he was Cactus Jack. I knew who he was before he was Mankind. So I was like, I was kind of really anticipating his, you know, his, with especially with all the vignettes they showed of him coming into the WWE. WWF back then, you know, it really got me interested, and I was really anticipating this, this debut of a character. And I mean, I don't know. I think that was the only thing I could think of from what you said, but that was in my head.
Yeah, I think that the biggest one for me, and it's been talked about and talked about and talked about, but it would be Chris Jericho. You know,
That. Man, you always get me. I always think of something else, and you always get the one I really should have said, right?
It's all right. He was in WCW. Everybody knew that. He was gaining some steam. He started to kind of come back, and then he left WCW. And once he came to the WWF at the time, no one knew. Well, people knew, because once again, like I said, it was kind of hard to keep that secret. But he was – they ran these vignettes, and it was like the Y2K, the whole issue with – oh my God, the computers are going to all crash and stuff. And so there was a countdown, a millennial clock countdown. And when it got to zero, The Rock was in the middle of the ring, and we got Chris Jericho, and some great verbal sparring ensued. And, you know, Chris Jericho has stayed the test of time. He's one of the best in the WWE, WCW, and professional wrestling in general. So I think that was a great surprise, a present for all of us to see Chris Jericho.
Yeah, definitely. It was one of those things, too. Like, he was... everybody was a fan of him, and he wasn't being pushed the way he should have been in WCW. And like the moment he stepped in WWE, he was already a main eventer. You know what I mean? So it was one of those big deals of coming over. So that was another present for us all. Let's talk a little bit about more surprises, because as you know, you were surprised on Christmas morning by.
That was my surprise.
Getting your sister's bike.
Yes.
You know, there's been a lot of other things happening, especially this year as being one of the biggest surprises. I don't know. I kind of laughed and kind of cheered it. I know what you're thinking, but a lot of people were shocked, and that was the Undertaker's streak being ended. I was hoping that it would happen. I didn't think it would happen. When it did happen, and I realized it was happening, when everybody was on the couch watching it in awe, I was getting up and doing the yes, 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 and I even took a selfie with Brock in the back as the winner. I liked it. It was you know, it was something you didn't never expect it to happen in your lifetime or ever. And it happened right away. You know, like they made a whole big series on the streak never ending before they showed WrestleMania. And it, guess what happened? The streak ended. And that, you know, no, it was one of those things you just never thought would ever happen. And hey, it happened.
21-1 forever. I'm a fan of The Undertaker, but I don't take it as crazy as a lot of people out there. It's like you either like The Undertaker or you're blaspheming. I don't know, but I think it was great. It could have been done with a few other people.
Yeah.
I think that they could have built up the Brock Undertaker feud a little differently. Of course, I'm not a writer in the WWE, although I should probably be. I was impressed by it. I think that that's the kind of moments that you have to have every now and then, just to be like, you know what? You think you know everything, but you don't really.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, we all saw. Well, we all know that it was Vince's idea from recent times, but I mean, it was one of those things, I think, where, you know, Vince really wanted to be like, guess what, everybody? You know, you everybody coming into that match, you knew Taker was walking out winning. You know, like, I don't care who you said you were, you know, like, granted, I said I hoped Taker would lose, but I still was saying, you know, he's not going to lose. So it was one of those things where they pulled the carpet right out underneath you, and you're like, well, nope, he's losing, and he lost, you know. So, hey, I guess you can never know what's going to happen, really. No matter as much as you think you know, you don't really know. And that's what's the greatest thing about being a wrestling fan and all these surprises and presents we get, right, Jonathan?
Yeah, and you know what? You kind of started to talk about this. One of the presents that we've been getting this past, within the past couple weeks, is just the onslaught of groundbreaking podcast, if you will. We here at Another Wrestling Podcast, you know, we do this for fun. We like to talk about wrestling because we love wrestling. We like to talk to former wrestlers, former divas, and just kind of, you know, shoot the breeze with them, if you will. But we got some hard-hitting podcast interviews this past month and this month as well. So we were talking about Undertaker and how his streak came to an end, and they brought that up when Stone Cold Steve Austin interviewed Vince McMahon on a podcast.
Yes.
That was kind of another thing that was a little bit behind the scenes. You think you know what's going to happen on these things, and that it didn't happen the way that we thought it was going to. So what were your thoughts, just to get it off your chest, what were your thoughts about the McMahon-Austin interview?
Well, that's the thing, is that, well, this whole Austin McMahon interview kind of came, well, we kind of knew about it, but before that happened, you know, Punk and Colt Cabana dropped their podcast with Punk finally talking out about everything. So they kind of teased the Austin McMahon podcast before that debuted. And then when that debuted, you know, Punk's podcast came out. And so Vince or Steve Austin had to, you know, ask him a question about Punk and what he thought. And I mean, we'll love him or hate him, McMahon or whatever. I mean, in my personal point of view, a lot of his answers weren't as sincere. A lot of it, you know, Salvatore sincere.
Yes, yes.
A lot of them, you know, it was just basic questions to get it to the next question. And I mean, granted, I mean, he's still the CEO of the company. He has people to answer to. And you know, whatever he says, you know, it could be for the good or for the bad of the company. And, you know, he can say his personal thoughts of, oh, I hate him, screw him. Okay, well, now you lost all these investors. You know what I mean? So no matter what he says, he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't. So I thought it could have been more. Yeah. I thought he could have said a lot more. But
Well, hold on. What's that? We've only got – they're trying to wrap us up.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly. Oh, well, let's give 15 more minutes.
15 more minutes.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll damn well guarantee that that was scripted too.
It was amazing.
Though. That was scripted, I'll tell you that, because he was like, hey, you know what? I think maybe if I tell them that, well, we'll need 15 more minutes, they'll actually think that I really tried making it go longer. It was scripted, so shut up. You know, you can't be sincere when it's on your network. Granted, okay, Steve Austin has a great show too, but if it was like from another third party person to where they had their own show not affiliated with WWE, you know, just like reading a WWE book. You know, you read a WWE book, you get a certain amount of information. But then if you read a book that wasn't written by the WWE, it's a whole different world, kids. so it's hard to – granted, okay, here's the good part. It was good seeing him and hearing about him, about different things you really never hear about stuff from him at least.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, a lot of the questions were fast. He skipped over stuff, and it's just like, you know, you can't answer everything on them. So it was like, it was 50-50 with it. I liked it, but then I didn't really like what I heard. So
I did get one good thing out of it. And if you've listened to our podcast before, we've talked with Leaping Lanny Poffo.
Yeah.
And he spoke to us a little bit about the, you know, the Macho Man and going into the Hall of Fame and all that stuff. And Stone Cold bluntly asked, you know, Vince McMahon, is Macho Man going into the Hall of Fame? And he said yes. He didn't say this year, but he said it's going to happen. So to put all the rumors about who did what with who and all that stuff, we will get Macho Man sometime in the Hall of Fame, which I thought was great.
And you still have time, Vince. You don't have to, you know, beat around the bush. Granted, I'm sure he didn't want to say yes in case maybe they didn't really have plans for him this year. But come on. He's no offense out there. He's deceased. He's passed away. He's not really going to be there. But just to have somebody go up there and talk about him, especially his brother, you know, to give a nice speech about the Macho Man, especially the macho fans out there, like Lanny put it, we want to see him in the rightful place. Granted, we still need that physical Hall of Fame. Maybe we'll keep that on our Christmas show next year. But, I mean, you know, it's one of those things that it's like, granted, and with all due respect, you know, deepest respects, is that, you know, he's not alive or with us today. But, you know, it's just being able to say the Macho Man's in the Hall of Fame is what the fans want. So it's not like you have to book this big guest that the Macho Man's going to be there. But, I mean, it's come on, Vince. It's not a big brainer to, you know, to do this, especially next year. So come on already. What's the big deal?
I only have one thing to say about that.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah! Dig it!
Well, there you go. So many Christmas presents and surprises and whatnot to talk about, Jonathan. I mean, we talked about the podcasts that happened recently. I mean, you can go back a little bit a few years ago to the Punk Pipe Bomb, which was probably a present for all the marks out there. Exactly. We don't have the bomb sound effect ready. But, you know, that was a little treat for the marks out there, because granted, all the kids listening probably had no idea what he was saying, or probably were in bed by that time. But, I mean, that was something that you never see, rarely ever see on TV. It's a live microphone and somebody just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
I only say one S-bomb a show. Maybe not, but hey, that's the only one I'm going to say. But you know what I mean? It was something that you don't see on WWE, because everything is scripted. Everything is run through 10 people before it makes it on air. And it's like, hey, here's a microphone. Go out there and say what you want. Okay? And he did that. And that stirred up a lot of things, and you know, it put him right into the title picture. It was great. I don't know. It's something I don't think we're ever going to get for Christmas again, Jonathan.
No, but what do you get for the person that has everything? I think that this is the biggest gift, maybe, and I don't know if I would have taken it back the day after Christmas or not, but Vince McMahon bought WCW. What, I mean, that has got to be the biggest present that we can really talk about.
That's it, man. Why have competition when you can just go buy it?
Yeah. WCW was starting to struggle. Ted Turner kind of wanted to get out of the wrestling business, as everyone says. And so Vince McMahon bought the rings, the library. He bought everything. This was back in 2001, and I'll never forget seeing the simulcast between WWF and WCW, and seeing Shane McMahon walk out and live at Club La Vila in Panama City Beach, if you were there.
That's right.
And, you know, you just, at that moment, everything just kind of stopped. I used to be a channel changer. I used to flip back and forth between WCW and WWF.
Channel surfer. Channel changer? What are you from?
I don't know. I'm not the Silver Surfer, not to be confused with him, but a channel surfer. And so I used to, you know, watch, and I never, like I said, I was a WWF guy through and through. I would just see people. I would want to see people that were from WWF in WCW. But I think that was probably one of the biggest presents. I'm not necessarily exactly happy with the way that the invasion angle turned out, but I'm happy with the fact that WWE ultimately won the Monday Night War.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's like the Christmas all wrapped up in a bag. You know, that's like, hey, what else are you going to get? Well, we're just going to buy our competition and then, you know, do what you can with it. And granted, it didn't really turn out that great in the end when you had no competition, because then you pretty much went back to the same old 90s era. But hey, well, that's another show. But guys, I mean, we talked a bunch about presents and surprises and whatnot. Jonathan, what can our fans tell us about their favorite surprises or presents, or where can they let us know about this?
They can tweet us at A Wrestling Pod. That's A Wrestling Pod. You can also find us on Facebook. AnotherWrestlingPodcast.com is our home base. We have all of our links, all of our shows up there. Tell us what you would like to get for Christmas in a tweet.
That's right, guys. Let us know, because we want to know, and we want to tell everybody else what you know that you knew told us that we would tell you about knowing what you wanted to know. Got it.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. He's gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
All right, Santa Claus, why is Christmas so important to you?
Why is it important to me? Because if it weren't for Christmas, I'd be out of a job. Yeah, that's the most important. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And the only thing that puts a damper on it are those people out there like Mick Foley trying to steal a little bit of Santa's thunder. I understand he's been dressing up in Santa-themed attire for almost an entire year, and I just want to know, how would a person like Mick Foley like it if I were to dress in Mick Foley-themed attire for an entire... Oh, I'd look absolutely ridiculous.
That's right.
Now, Santa, there's a movie, I'm sure you've heard of it, it's called I Am Santa Claus. Oh, yes, yes. Now, have you seen the movie?
Oh, I highly recommend it. Two big cheesy thumbs up from Santa, although it's not for the little ones. Let's make that very clear.
In that movie, there's a variety of different kinds of Santa Clauses. What do you think is the best characteristic to make a great Santa Claus?
Oh, well, it's not the beard, it's not the hat, it's not the bowl full of jelly, it's what you have in your heart. And that's why you'll sometimes see some of Santa's ambassadors. They may look a little scraggly, but if they're spreading joy throughout the holiday season, they're welcome to help spread the cheer that my good name provides. And I guess, on second thought, if Mick Foley wants to dress in Santa-themed attire, then why should I stop him? Maybe I'll make myself a couple new ratty flannels for Christmas. Does that sound good?
Yeah, sounds great. Now, is there a WrestleMania moment equivalent for Santa Claus?
Oh yeah. Well, anytime you have the good fortune to take a photo with a child for the first time, their first Santa photo, it's like a WrestleMania moment. When you look out and you see the look on that child, the child may be sleeping, that child may be crying, but when you see the look on their parents' faces, it feels very much, I would imagine, having never personally been in a WrestleMania, but I would imagine it's very much like all of the WWE superstars and Al Snow feel during WrestleMania. Santa does like a good Al Snow joke.
So we'll do a quick lightning round here for Santa. What is your favorite Christmas movie?
Favorite Christmas movie? I like Elf. No one has the spirit of Christmas like Buddy Elf in their heart.
All right. What about
Santa? I know him. I love that.
What about Santa's favorite Christmas song?
Favorite Christmas song is it's Old Toy Trains by Roger Miller. It makes me tear up just a little bit thinking about that famous singer writing a song for his little boy on his second Christmas. It gets me every time.
What is your favorite Christmas item that you own?
Favorite Christmas item that I own?
You know, Rob Schomburger did a wonderful portrait of me, and that's going to be my gift this year. I've only seen a photo of it, but the real item arrived. And when someone takes their time and talent and dedicates it to making a lasting work of art and actually gives Santa the original, that's something special. So I believe that will be my favorite Christmas present this year.
Do you have a favorite type of Christmas cookie?
I do. Can I share a secret with you?
Sure.
I'm so tired of chocolate chip cookies. By the time I've flown halfway around the world, I'm just tired. I basically throw them like flying saucers out the front door so as not to hurt the children. Gingerbread, molasses, anything like that. And there's nothing wrong with baking a pie for Santa once in a while.
And last
one. Not the type of pie that The Rock used to speak of. I'm talking pumpkin mince or something with some fall fruits in it.
And last thing, what does Santa want for Christmas?
Oh, well, same thing I want every year. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and a Ziegler title run.
Santa, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for talking with us.
You're very welcome, and have a nice day.
What a Christmas show. What a Christmas special, if you want to call it that. We talked about some surprises and gifts and all that fun stuff. We talked to a lot of great people today on our show. Jonathan, wow. Christmas.
I can't believe it. I would like to thank all of you out there who listen to us, who tweet us, who like us, who bought a t-shirt this year. We had a lot of great people. This is not the end of another wrestling podcast. As a matter of fact, we've only just begun.
Yes, that's right, Jonathan. We've only just begun. Christmas on AWP. Wow, what else can we give our fans before we go?
Oh, well, you know, I've always got a few tricks up my sleeve.
Oh, no.
I got another little surprise for you
guys.
Oh, no. Merry Christmas from another wrestling podcast.